News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning, y'all. 7 minutes after 8 o'clock on FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan, Sean Sullivan in for Dalton. And on the line, it's Quinn Hillier from QuinnHillier.com and all the good work he does also at the Washington Examiner. Good morning, Quinn.
Good morning, guys. Hope I'm not a little hoarse for y'all, but hope you can understand.
We got you loud and clear, yeah.
You're a pony. Yes. Okay, I want to start off with this. You had written a story about protest here and where you protest and where you don't protest. Maybe the decorum of protesting. Walk us through this.
Okay. This is happening all too often. Left-wing mobs have done this all too often. Now right-wing mobs are doing it, and it's bad no matter who does it. And that is going to the private family home of public officials and protesting outside their door. And I'm not talking about some sort of candlelight silent vigil. I'm talking about outside the door, bullhorns, obscenities. In this case, a number of them were open carry. This was in Michigan against the Michigan Secretary of State because she dared to say that the election there should be certified. And you know what? It doesn't matter what your message is. Doesn't matter whether your message is right or wrong. Doesn't matter if it's legitimate or not. Do not go to somebody's private home with their children and try to intimidate them. That's not free speech. It's harassment. It's intimidation. It could be trespassing. And whether or not it is illegal, it is wrong. You were hurting and bothering their neighbors. You're bothering their children. You're scaring them. The point is to intimidate, and any time your point is to bully or intimidate, that's not right, period.
Also, I saw a similar story, Quinn, out in Los Angeles. I guess people that were, they were protesting the lockdowns, and they went to the health official in Los Angeles. Same thing. What does law enforcement do in a case like that? Because that's over the line. Now to think about it, it's pretty disturbing to have an idea of a mob outside your own personal residence.
Well, again, different states have different laws. And what I say is that, first of all, it just shouldn't be done, period. It hurts civil discourse. It hurts civil society. So norms should be against it. But your question is, what do the police do? And what I say is, if there are any laws broken, I don't care what the law, is. I don't care how serious the offense is. If you're doing that as part of a mob and they catch you actually breaking a law, harassment, intimidation, trespassing, I say, arrest them, charge them, book them, prosecute them, convict them, and penalize them. Mm-hmm. Period. End of story.
On the basis of harassment or violation of private property?
That's what I'm saying. It depends on what the law is. And sometimes these mobs do this, and they're not technically breaking any law. If they're not, you cannot arrest them, but you can certainly try to shoo them along. But what I'm saying is, this is the kind of circumstance where you're bullying a private family, children, et cetera, if you get caught while you're doing this obnoxious thing. If you also break a single law, that's when the cops, I say, they should show no mercy, mm-hmm. Period. Look, we have free speech rights. That means we can go to any public forum we want. public forum. It means we can publish. It means we can call into radio shows. It means we can go to a public square. It means we can say almost anything we want as long as it doesn't threaten somebody else. That's free speech. This mob action is a different thing. That's not just speech. I'm not talking about the content of the speech unless you say something specifically threatening. I'm talking about the time, place, and manner. There are always time, place, and manner restrictions. And even if it's not against the law, you just shouldn't do it. It's terrible. That, in this case, in the Michigan Secretary of State, they had just hung up their, put all the ornaments on the Christmas tree. The four-year-old had sat down to watch the Grinch, how the Grinch stole Christmas, and suddenly having epithets shouted through a bullhorn through their window from armed people. Mm. That's hideous.
What a ask some questions here for the text line. First of all, this question, should that apply also to reporters?
I don't like it when reporters stand outside, you know, do the cordon around private homes. I don't like that either. At least,
well, but if you like it or not, do you think it should be enforced the same way you said for the protesters?
Oh, if they break the law, it should be enforced, period. Again, what I'm saying is, if you break the law around somebody's private house, that is a particular time when I say there should be no mercy. But my bigger point is, whether or not it's against the law, it is morally, ethically wrong. I mean,
our freedoms in this country protect people
there's a difference between what is legally right and what is morally acceptable. And sometimes you can do something that's morally unacceptable, even though it's legally right. And sometimes, frankly, vice versa. There are mm-hmm. things that are technically
civil
illegal
disobedience
that mm-hmm. are not immoral. You don't even know you're breaking the law, and I've got problems with that too.
Yeah, I think also civil disobedience. Sometimes, you know, for a higher purpose, people break the law.
True,
right?
That's true.
Yeah, but look, Rosa Parks didn't get on a bus with a weapon and try to intimidate somebody. She deliberately got on the bus, did it quietly, knew she was going to be arrested, did it in order to quietly get arrested to take something to court. In Mobile, that's how we integrated. Mayor Joe Langan set up a situation where somebody got on a bus, got off two blocks later, was quietly arrested, was quietly brought to the prison, was booked and immediately filed suit, was let out on bail, and they took it to court. That's a different thing. That's constructive civil disobedience. That is not intimidation, harassment, threats of implicit threat of violence.
Just to play devil's advocate again here, if you say that there's a place where it's okay for these protests, and there's a place that it's not okay. In between those two bookends, that's where we get into gray, right? We get into subjective. And I would argue that if we, and I'm not saying you're not saying this, but some might say, even in totalitarian regimes, you have the right to say whatever you want. You go out there in the middle of the desert and, you know, say whatever you want. So you got your freedom to say it, but not here. So in between the public square, as you said, and the front of the house, because morally, I agree with you. The idea of that going on bothers me. But with what our country's about, if you start limiting where that free speech can happen, are you curtailing the true meaning of the First Amendment?
Again, that's why we have 222 years of court cases saying what is and isn't protected, and sometimes it might not be illegal to gather out somebody's house. That does not make it right. What is technically legal is not necessarily right or acceptable, and it drives me nuts that you can write something about what is right or wrong, and all somebody comes back at you with is yeah, but it's legal. Well, you know what? I don't care if it's legal. It's still not right. And get out of that neighborhood. Stop harassing the neighbors. Stop harassing the children. Go do it somewhere else.
Okay, let's do this. Come back for the break. We'll pick this discussion up. A lot of texts coming in on this. Plus, we'll talk about what will or won't be in the CARES Act 2.
Yeah.
Coming out when we return more with Quinn Hillier.
I see Joe Manchin on the morning news talking about, no doubt, the CARES Act is close to being a deal now. 817 FM Talk 106.5 with Dan Brennan and Sean Sullivan in for Dalton Orwick. 8:22 Mobile Mornings. Breaking news from Jim Cox: the Wharf ice skating rink is now open at the Wharf.
So we did have the polar vortex. Good.
And so, how can we tie the breakdancing into the ice skating?
Yeah, you can.
Yes,
break,
no.
If you don't make the right skating moves, you'll break something when you're dancing.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. They were waiting for that to open, so it's official now. Ice skating rink is open at the Wharf.
That is cool. We used to have to go to Montgomery when I was a kid.
People telling me about that.
Yeah.
What a hike. All right, Quinn Hill, you're back on the line on FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, Quinn, so run through some questions coming in on the text line. This one said, Quinn is under the perception that civility exists among liberals. Middle class has had enough. There will be many confrontations and accountability will be had. Federal government has failed, and Trump has pulled back the curtain on the systemic hypocrisy.
Confrontations depends on what you're talking about. The rule of thumb should be protest all you want, but you do not have the right to harm or threaten or frighten innocents. You do not have the right to take it out on somebody else who is not involved. And the family members of a public official are innocents. Just like a mob protesting in the street, if they have a permit, that's fine. If they break store windows, that is harming an innocent, and that is wrong. You do not hurt or intimidate or threaten somebody who is innocent. And that there are 4-year-old children there, you're wrong, and you need to get the heck out of there, period.
Matt's saying here, although this is framed, I deal with these a lot, let you say what you did or did not say, because Matt says, I don't remember Quinn being against angry mobs in the neighborhoods when Black Lives Matter broke down the gates McCloskey's neighborhood.
Yeah. I get this all the time from people who have no clue.
Yeah, but
no clue. How many times did I come on this show and blast the living bleep?
You did.
Out.
That's the problem when people don't hear one part and then they... So
yeah, I mean, I put something on Twitter and they said... And they say, where were you when? Well, don't say where were you when if you haven't done a simple 5-second Google search to find out where I was then. Because I was a heck of a lot harsher on the mobs that were looting and breaking store windows than I have been on the radio show today.
The McCloskey's house.
The stupidest response anybody can make is say, where were you when do a friggin' Google search to find out.
And specifically, he's talking about the McCloskey house when the protests went there.
Yeah.
I defended the McCloskeys. So there.
Jay says, it's not just liberals showing up outside residences, performing open carry, and yelling through bullhorns over the current election result. So, and you're saying that. You're saying you're specifically talking about, in this case, conservatives in Michigan.
Conservatives in Michigan did it, and they were wrong. Liberals before during the most recent Supreme Court hearings did it apparently outside the house of Lindsey Graham, senator from South Carolina. They were wrong. Anybody that goes to private homes and intimidates intimidation is wrong. There's a difference between protest and intimidation. Second thing is, if you do it to family homes, you're going after not just the official, you're going after their family, you're going after their children. It is wrong. Children are innocent and must be protected. And if you do that, you've got a problem, dude.
All right, let's talk about the CARES Act real quick and what's in it and what maybe is not in it.
You know what? By now, it almost doesn't matter.
What?
It almost doesn't matter. Every detail is important, but there comes a time when you stop bickering. It's a public crisis. We have had a terrible year. We are in a health crisis. We have civil unrest, and there is a compromise on the table that is very constructive, that doesn't have everything either side wants. It has some things neither that one side or the other doesn't want.
Yeah, that's compromise.
It's time for the system to work. It's time to reassure people that legislators can actually legislate. Joe Manchin and Susan Collins and dozens of their colleagues have come up with a constructive compromise. It's time to stop bickering at the edges. It's time to get it passed.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, it is. It was time to get it passed months ago, but it wasn't going to happen until after the election cycle, since it was used as a bludgeon, right, going into November 3rd.
It was, and you know what? Nancy Pelosi tried to use it as a bludgeon, and she lost House seats. It shows how both dumb and jerky these politicians are to try to play politics with something that requires going above and beyond politics.
Yeah.
And this compromise, look, it's closer to what Republicans have been proposing than what Democrats have been proposing. I'm a conservative. It's still 10 times bigger than what I think it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, by numbers, I think you can do this with only $90 billion of new money, which in itself, it's crazy to say only. This is $900 billion. But you know what? The Democrats wanted another $2.3 billion.
Mm-hmm.
This comes more than halfway. There are some really good ideas that should be in it, like our own Gary Palmer, congressman from Birmingham, says states should be able to use the leftover money almost any way that they want. That should be in there. I don't know whether it is.
Hey, Quinn, real quick, tell people where to check out your stuff, including the Matt Jones Trilogy.
Matt Jones Trilogy, satirical novels. You can get them at Amazon.com. You can read me just about every day. If you Google my name and Washington Examiner, you can Google it and then find out whether I have or have not denounced the left-wing mob even more harshly than I did the right-wing mob.
That is Quinn Hillier on FM Talk 106.5. Our guest on Tuesdays, 8:30 now with Dan Brennan and Sean Sullivan. FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Sean Sullivan in for Dalton this morning. Out to the car lot we go, to grandmother's house. No, to Louis Arata, McConnell Automotive. What you doing there, Lou?
Good morning. All just sitting here on the car lot watching the cars go by beautiful Dolphin Street.
I've been there with you. I've watched you do your thing. There's a lot going on out there. You got a lot of nice used cars, huh?
That's right. We do. Y'all can check those out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. I mean, we're trading in. With this great deal, employee pricing on the new car side, we have got some great trades. Man, like I said, y'all really need to check those out at McConnellAutomotive.com. Got a 19 Yukon XL. Traded in the other day with 9,000 miles on it. Heck, that's brand new just about. And, like I said, employee pricing on the new car side. Just about on everything except the 21 Yukons, and we do have some of those in stock. We've got some Denalis, and if y'all want to check those out, you can check those also out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. And don't forget about Gary and the guys and the girls in the body shop back there. They're just doing a wonderful job for us. I mean, they are just slammed back there. And if that unfortunate wreck happens, give them a call back there, and they'll tell you, go over everything, take care of your insurance needs and everything.
Sounds good. Louis, tell everybody where you are.
McConnell Automotive, east of I-65 on Dolphin Street.
And, of course, also McConnellAutomotive.com. Thank you, Lou.
Thank you.
There's sweet Lou. Another day. Another couple dollars over there at McConnell Automotive. You ought to sit in there sometime with him, as I've had the pleasure of doing. Just watch him operate during the course of a day out there at McConnell.
You watched him during an auction before?
I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
It's like a sitcom out there. You know what I mean? Like if a sitcom was put in it, like, okay, let's do one about a car lot. He'll keep you smiling, yeah. It's 8:37 at FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan, Sean Sullivan again in for Dalton. We were talking earlier this morning about this story from the Wall Street Journal where, believe it or not, your boss can kind of, I guess in some ways, he can construct your holiday getaway, or at least have an opportunity to ask you about it, and because it would affect the other people who work at the place, trying to keep them safe.
Okay, so this can change state. There's a nuance to it, state by state. But the overall here, the Wall Street Journal story says bottom line: employers have wide latitude during a pandemic in what they can ask regarding your holiday plans. So think about this going into Christmas here. That includes asking workers to take a pledge to refrain from any risky behavior, as some companies did right before Thanksgiving, and cautioning employees against any conduct that would violate federal or local health guidelines. It varies by state, but it is a matter of protecting the safety of the workplace. Employers can also discipline workers for what they do during off hours.
So this is
interesting. In the story, they said limitations on what employers can restrict in your off time vary by state, but companies generally have leeway when it comes to protecting workplace safety. So here's where it falls under. Employers are required under Occupational Safety and Health Administration, OSHA rules, to provide a safe workplace. This, according to Jennifer Fay, an employment law partner in Boston at Goodwin Proctor LLP. Says, while companies can't unreasonably invade an employee's privacy and make requests such as don't go outside, they can take other unusual but not illegal steps during the health crisis aimed at preventing the spread of COVID-19. Companies can, for example, require employees to disclose any travel plans or recent trips and can enforce recommendations from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention or local health mandates for post-travel quarantine periods. Some firms also will ask or require employees to sign pledges stating they'll keep celebrations small, wear a mask, or even limit contact with people outside their household, according to this attorney. Now, some states, such as California and New York, have off-duty conduct laws that prevent employers from restricting activities that employees may do lawfully outside a workplace, including personal travel. Some union contracts also include an off-duty conduct rule, potentially preventing an employer from taking action against an employee. Companies can also discipline employees if they're caught on social media violating state or local health mandates. So this is one of the stories that somebody said earlier that bosses will be getting blocked.
Yeah,
on Facebook.
They'll
be getting blocked.
I got
on
a
Facebook.
Text from my buddy D. He says I blocked my boss years ago.
So they can't see what you do on social media.
Can't see on social media and can't pick you apart that way. But here's what I'm wondering, Sean, real quick, is so this stuff was always there. We never had a
pandemic. Yeah, but there wasn't a situation.
So this is kind of, it's in the handbook, but it's way down deep because we never had a pandemic before.
Yeah, they go on to say here, if an employer sees someone doing something on social media that's not in line with state or local orders, depending on employer policy, they could discipline that person or require them to quarantine. Companies in some states that ask workers to stay away from the workplace as a preventative measure aren't required to offer paid time off. Let's see. The Families First Coronavirus Response Act, enacted in March, part of the CARES Act there, requires private companies with 500 employees or fewer to provide up to 10 days of paid sick leave to workers in states that have quarantine mandates. The policy is set to expire at the end of this month. Enforcement of policies regarding travel or large celebrations, however, can be difficult and in most cases falls on the employee, to be honest, about their plans. So it was just an interesting run through, what the law says. Now, I think a lot of people react. I haven't, I've been reading here, hadn't had a chance to look at the text line. I'm sure lit up with people upset about it, but I'm just telling you, this Wall Street Journal story is not saying right or wrong. It's saying what the law says.
So when I was leaving for Thanksgiving, and you guys were kind of, if I remember the tone, you guys were all kind of like all for it. Like, hey, you're making a choice. You want to go see your son.
Yeah.
Go up to Virginia Beach and go see him.
If you want to be at a Liberty Forward place of employment, you arrived at the right, place.
I was almost like the Spanish Ford football team leaving. Everybody was waving. It was like a celebration. Well, maybe celebration because I was leaving for another reason. But the point is, you never approached me in that way. But I can see that an employer of a place with a lot of people that work
right
there,
that's a different thing. We all know each other, and small business, you know, if you went somewhere and you know, you walked in and then everybody tested positive for coronavirus, I know you'd pick up the phone and call me and say, hey man, I was up here with the family and everybody had coronavirus,
right?
I'm gonna not come to work till I can get a test.
Right
that's how you should act.
Yeah.
Logical. And then you get a test, it's negative. All right, come on back, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But there was never any, there wasn't any of that language or any of that tone as I was leaving. I remember really just the opposite. Like, hey, good for you, man. Glad you can go. Glad you're going to get a chance to see him. And we did have a great time. And it was a very limited number of people that I was around during that time. Probably, I would have been around the same number of people if I had stayed here for Thanksgiving, more than likely. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, and also, our travels, we went into grocery stores and to Home Depot like you would do on a normal day in Mobile. So nothing really changed on my trip, and I was by myself in the car the entire way up.
And wearing a mask.
I was not wearing a mask. I'm not one of those people.
Okay. Just
anyway,
asking, do you see those people out there? People that I'm talking to, if you're riding by yourself right now, have a mask on, take it off, enjoy the freedom.
Yeah, let's see what the text line says. Okay. Well, that's about, someone was asking about the gym, the Big Jim Folsom documentary that I watched on the recommendation of Jeff Poor.
Recommendation of Sean Sullivan.
Oh, my bad.
That was Robert Clem, so Bob Clem. Maybe he recommended it to you, but then,
and then you
we
said,
were talking.
You knew Robert Clem, right?
Yeah, who's been a guest on Midday Mobile in the last couple of weeks. He's been on to talk about his most recent documentary, the Alabama Black Belt Blues,
yes,
which I was fascinated by. But we did talk about some of his older documentaries, like the one about Big Jim Folsom, which I think is a must-watch, and his upcoming about Admiral Sims that I'm real interested in. It should be out, he said, sometime in 2021, but we'll get him back on to talk about that.
I don't know if you can find it on Netflix or where, but anyway, it is called Big Jim Folsom, The Two Faces of Populism.
Yeah, it's for those people that think that history is just what's happened since you graduated high school to now. Yeah, you need to go back and watch this. Do we have a second here, or do you want to do this when we get back for the break? There's a story I put up on Twitter yesterday, and I hope folks can go read it and we can bounce this around, because it's a couple things Matthew McConaughey said. He was on what's this guy, Russell Brand's podcast.
Russell Brand is it must be quite a podcast. That guy's about two-thirds out of his mind.
Yeah, which is probably just, that's the whole podcast, just open up a mic and record it.
Yes.
So Matthew McConaughey, during the story from Washington Examiner, and it says, actor Matthew McConaughey lashed out at people on the far left, calling them arrogant and condescending in an interview with fellow actor Russell Brand. This is good, because I'm excited when things like this happen, because it's not preaching to the choir.
Mm-hmm.
McConaughey is going to get the ears of people maybe that need to hear this.
Yes.
He said, on the far left, there's a lot of people that the illiberal left that absolutely condescend, patronize, and are arrogant towards the other 50%, McConaughey said. Went on to say, many people, I'm sure you saw it in our industry, meaning, you know, movie industry, when Trump was voted in 4 years ago, they were in denial that it was actually real. Some of them were in absolute denial. End quote. McConaughey's remarks came in response to a question from Brand, who said he didn't know how many on the left he didn't like how many on the left characterized conservative individuals. So he goes on to say, I have sensed a lot of condemnation and criticism of what I might describe as ordinary working people, a kind of offhandedness like, oh, they're dumb, they're voting for Brexit, they're voting for Trump, because Brand is English, right?
Right.
That's why he did the Brexit. They're voting for Brexit, they're voting for Trump. I don't like it. I don't like to hear it. Brand said, I spend enough time with people that are being described in this manner and feel ill at ease with it. So it goes on here, and Brand said, do you feel that there is a way of meshing together these apparently disparate groups now, these liberal professional classes and these what you might describe as working ordinary people? Brand asked that of McConaughey. McConaughey said that he thinks people should meet in the middle, which he described as happier than the polarized nature of the current political crisis. I'm getting to the quote, the armadillo quote that I pointed out on Twitter.
Okay.
Says, I'll say, I'll meet you in the middle. I actually think that's more of a dare right now than it's ever been before. He said, son, this is McConaughey talking. He said, somebody said to me the other day, you know what's in the middle, McConaughey? Yellow lines and dead armadillos. And I said, because you've heard that, right?
Yes.
He said, and he's from Texas. So mm-hmm. He said, let me tell you something, bud. I'm walking down the yellow line right now, and the armadillos are running free and having a great time. You know why? The other two sides, the two vehicles on either side of the political aisle, are so far apart, their blanking tires aren't even on the pavement anymore. End quote.
Well done.
So
the armadillos are alive and well in the middle.
He's saying, yeah, saying mm-hmm. you get run over. It's an old political statement that in the middle, mm-hmm. you get run over, mm-hmm. right? That there's no room. But what McConaughey's pointing out, I think he did it in a cool Texan way, that the middle is so wide open right now because at least in the discourse, I don't think in we the people, but in the discourse, everything is so far left and so far right that you don't get run over in the middle. So there's just a little down home. From Matthew McConaughey, I thought was interesting.
He does everything in a cool Texan way, by the way.
Yeah.
And I saw an interview with him, and I was like, oh, man, I don't think I'm going to like this. And it was on a sports show, and he was great.
He's a thinker. I don't agree with everything he says, but,
no,
he thinks about stuff. He yeah. has his upbringing, I think, has grounded him. He mm-hmm. had upbringing. He's proud of his people
mm-hmm.
and his family and how he grew up. There's a lot to be said for that, and you don't have to agree with everything someone says. I mean, that's the ridiculousness of the world these days, to respect a good anecdote about dead or living armadillos.
Well, and I think he's got more where that came from because he's got a brand new book out. So that's what I was getting at. He was a guest on the show pushing the book. I think the book
his new book,
Dalton's read it. Dalton said it's exactly. He said it's worth reading. 849 FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan and Sean Sullivan in for Dalton. 854, as if you have not been entertained enough by this show, Jeff Poore's on the way on FM Talk 106.5. He's got a real powerhouse show. And who are some of the guests, Sean?
Yeah, so Ed, I will say leadoff matter this coming hour, the 9 o'clock hour. Got a lot of people want to hear from in the state of Alabama. That is Arthur Orr from up in the northern part of the state. We're going to talk about the vaccine and I think I asked this question yesterday. I was talking about with Congressman Byrne about how you can motivate people taking a vaccine. Will it become some kind of compulsory thing? You know, we just talked about what leverage businesses have out there. What about in state regulations on that? So that's something that Arthur Orr is talking about, and we'll get into the discussion coming up with Jeff about 9:30 this morning.
Healthcare workers.
Yeah.
There's healthcare workers probably, well, I can, you know, I don't say I know one, but there's got to be healthcare workers out there that are like, you know, I'd rather not get that vaccine, but it seems to me in their line of work, they're going to have little choice. Correct?
Well, I mean, we're going to get the details during the interview with Jeff, but Arthur Orr says government should not be able to force you to take the vaccine. Now, that's the thing we talked about yesterday and day before, or yesterday's show, was the carrot versus the stick.
Mm-hmm. Incentivize.
Right. Do you incentivize taking vaccines? And do you do that at a federal or state level? Could the state, if it had CARES Act money, say there's a $500 or $1,000 for somebody getting the vaccine
mm-hmm.
versus the compulsory that you're forced to do it?
Yeah.
But we'll let them hash that out. Also, Media Research Center's Dan Gaynor going to be a guest. Pete Rehm, who you hear here on Thursday nights for Common Sense Town Hall Radio. He's going to join Jeff at 10:30, and then U.S. Representative Gary Palmer. Always interesting conversation with him in the 11 o'clock hour.
So we talked to Dr. Liu earlier this week. There's a Common Sense Town Hall
Saturday
rally in Spanish Fort on Saturday. Mm-hmm.
Saturday at the fort, the container park there mm-hmm. In mm-hmm. Spanish Fort. So that's happening. We'll talk more about that on the upcoming shows. But yeah, that's Saturday. I think it is at 10 o'clock. You may have a better time. This computer right now has had molasses poured into it, so it's a little hard for me. But there it is, finally.
A specialist for that.
Yeah, it's finally it's warmed up enough to melt some of the molasses. Okay, it starts at 10, so it goes. It's Saturday, the 12th. That goes from 10 to 11:30 a.m. at the Fort Container Park in Spanish Fort. It's Common Sense Campaign hosting the We the People rally to support President Trump, election integrity, law enforcement, first responders, including medical and key workers, and our military.
Looking through my stack of, like, well, what story haven't we got to this morning? tell me what this means, okay? I'll tell you the story.
Okay.
And you tell me what you think it means. Goldman Sachs leaving New York City. They're eyeing a move to Florida for one of its key divisions. It could be yet another major blow to New York City's position at the helm of the financial industry. You know, New York City, the center of it all. But Goldman Sachs thinking about pulling out.
Okay.
I'm sure New York feels a little jilted.
Yeah, well, it's a couple things. Number one, they're moving out because there's tax advantage to being in Florida than New York, right? That's part of it. And I would argue that it shows at a lesser degree, a secondary storyline here is that you don't have to be in New York to do business. Mm-hmm. I mean, and we're seeing this amplified more during, you know, quarantine and people telecommuting. You don't have to be in that place to do that business.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of people that can work at a job for a national company and live different places. They don't have to live in that. You know, it used to be you got to live wherever the company headquarters is. Well,
That was 2019.
Yes. Well, you don't have to live in New York. You don't have to be there by Wall Street. You can do this remotely. But I think there's a, you know, you're seeing you see this with California. You saw it in Maryland was a great example because you had a smaller state to look at. They put a millionaire's tax on years ago. And guess what the millionaires did?
Left. Yeah.
Because they can.
Yes.
So
you're a millionaire. You can do what the heck you want to do. Yeah. Thanks again, Sean.
No problem. See you tomorrow.
And we'll check you out on Midday Mobile. Jeff Ford on the way next. FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan. And Dalton will be back soon.